Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family, a time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. Cole, in his preface to his book on Galatians, penned these lines: "The epistle to the Galatians is spiritual dynamite, and it is therefore almost impossible to handle it without explosions." It has often been so in the history of the church. The great spiritual awakening of Martin Luther came as he expounded and studied this epistle. While it was a sermon on Galatians that brought peace of heart to John Wesley, small wonder that both of these men dearly loved the book. It spoke directly from Paul's experience to their own. And we're really getting into some of the dynamite on this broadcast. We'd like to welcome each one of you who are listening. If you're a long-time listener, we want you to know we appreciate you. If this is the first time you've dialed our way, welcome aboard. One other matter before we go to our studies. If you would like a complete set of study notes similar to the ones we are using, write to us for information on obtaining them. Our address is given in the closing moments of each program. Now page 39 of our study notes. The question before us: what then is the law? If, as Paul contended, the law did not annul or add conditions to the promise God made to Abraham, what was the purpose of the law? The law was intended to reveal sin in its true character as transgression. Sin existed before the law, but man did not recognize it as transgression until the law came. Transgression is the violation of a known law. The law was given to a nation of sinners. They could never obtain righteousness by keeping it, because they did not have the power to obey it. The law was meant to show men what hopeless sinners they were, so that they would cry out to God to save them by His grace. Let's look now at Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. That's Galatians 3, verse 21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. Did the law then set aside the promise or take its place? Paul forcefully answers, "May it never be," or "God forbid." If it were possible to give a law by which sinners could achieve the perfection required by God, then certainly salvation would have been by law-keeping. God would not have sent the Son of His love to die for sinners if He could have achieved the same result in some less costly way. But the law had plenty of both time and people to demonstrate that it could not save sinners. In this sense, it was weak through the flesh, as we read in Romans 8. All the law could do is show men their hopelessness and impress upon them that salvation can only be by the free grace of God. Now let's look together at the next verse. This is Galatians 3, verse 22. But the Scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The Old Testament Scriptures showed that all men are sinners, including those under the law. It was necessary that men should be thus thoroughly convinced of sin in order that the promises of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The important words here in Galatians 3, verse 22 are faith, and given, and believe. There's no mention here of doing or of law-keeping. Let's pause right here. what about your salvation vocabulary? If I were to ask you about your salvation, would you use words like, I have done this or that? I am doing this to gain right standing before God? Take another look at Galatians 3:22. Notice carefully that it is by faith in Jesus Christ. It is something given to those who believe. We've just reviewed some of the basics of salvation. Poverty-stricken widow had left their small village to make his living in a larger town with better opportunities. On his first visit to her, he wanted to bring her a useful present. He decided on an electric blanket. He took the old worn-out blankets from his mother's bed, spread the new electric blanket on it, and plugged in the control wires. "Now, Mom," he said, "you won't be needing these old blankets anymore." But when he returned for another visit some weeks later, he found his blanket on her bed with all the old worn-out blankets piled on top of it. "Son," she said, "your blanket's mighty pretty, but it isn't enough." Somehow, she had failed to turn on the current. This story reminds me of the way some people treat the blanket of faith. They pile the law on with all the other works that they've done on top of the blanket of faith. They use it in a wrong way. And just before we go back to our studies in Galatians 3, I'd like to remind you that we have these Bible study notes on Galatians that we'd like to send to you. Please write for information. Stay tuned for our address at the close of the program. Now Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith that was later to be revealed. That was Galatians 3, 23. Faith here is the Christian faith. It refers to the era ushered in by the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus, and the preaching of the gospel at Pentecost. Before that time, the Jews were kept under law, as if in a prison, or under guard, or in custody. They were fenced in by the law's requirements, and since they could not fulfill them, they were restricted to the way of faith for salvation. The people under law were thus confined until the glorious news of deliverance from the bondage of the law should be announced in the gospel. Now Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Let's also read the next verse, verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We just read Galatians 3, verses 24 and 25. The law is pictured as a tutor, as a guardian and guide of children. This emphasizes the thought of teaching. And the law taught lessons concerning the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, and the need for the atonement. Here, the word is used to describe one who exercises discipline and general supervision over minors or the immature. The law is a tutor. But once the Christian faith has been received, believing Jews are no longer under the tutor or the law. How much less Gentiles, such as the Galatians to whom he was writing. They were never under the tutor. Let's look at the next verse, verse 26. Galatians 3, 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Notice the change in the pronoun here. Before he used we, and now he uses you. In speaking of the Jews as we, Paul showed that they were kept under law until the coming of Christ. The law maintained them as a separate people to whom justification by faith might be preached. When they were justified, they ceased to be under the law, and their distinctive character as Jews ceased. The pronoun you from here to the end of the chapter includes both Jews and Gentiles who have been saved. All such are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now Galatians 3, verse 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That was Galatians 3, 27. Christian baptism is here spoken of as a public clothing yourselves with Christ. Those baptized into or unto the name of Christ publicly express submission to his leadership and authority. Christians are not baptized unto Moses. They do not clothe themselves with the law. They are clothed with Christ, the verse says. By baptism, the believer signifies also the burial of the flesh and its efforts to obtain righteousness. In water baptism, the Galatians confessed that they had died with Christ and had been buried with him. They signify the end of the old way of life and the beginning of a new life. We have touched on some very important subjects in this lesson. We hope that you will review these after our class time. Those of you with the lesson manual should now do the exam and mail it to us. Again, we want you to know that we appreciate each one of you. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.